Our first reading today is from Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7. Listen, dear friends, to God's truth. Bend your ears to what I tell you. I'm chewing on the morsel of a proverb. I'll let you in on the sweet old truths. Stories we heard from our fathers, counsels we learned at our mother's knee. We're not keeping this to ourselves. We're passing it along to the next generation. God's fame and fortune, the marvelous things he has done. He planted a witness in Jacob, set his word firmly in Israel, then commanded our parents to teach it to their children, so that the next generation would know, and all the generations to come know the truth and tell the stories so that their children can trust in God.
Our second reading from Scripture this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. The apostles came up and said to the Master, "Give us more faith." But the Master said, "You don't need more faith. There is no more or less in faith. If you have a bare kernel of faith, say the size of a poppy seed, you could say to this sycamore tree, 'Go jump in the lake,' and it would do it. Suppose one of you has a servant who comes in from plowing the field or tending the sheep. Would you take his coat, set the table, and say, 'Sit down and eat'? Wouldn't you be more likely to say, 'Prepare dinner, change your clothes, and wait table for me until I finish my coffee, and then go to the kitchen and have your supper?' Does the servant get special thanks for doing what's expected of him? Well, it's the same with you. When you've done everything expected of you, be matter of fact and say, 'The work is done. What we were told to do, we did. What we were told to do, we did.'" Here ends our scripture reading. May it be that you and I would recognize God's presence as we continue on in worship. I want to tell you first about a certain old preacher. He was preaching mightily about the need to have faith in the Lord. And so he would yell, "The good Lord is going to take care of us." But as he lifted his arms, however, his coat parted, and the congregation noticed the pistol tucked into his pants. Now, after the service, one of his members said, "Preacher, I thought you told us that we should trust the Lord." "Yes, brother. Sure you can." But the member retorted, "Then why are you carrying a pistol around?" Without missing a beat, the pastor said, "That's to hold the enemy off until the Lord gets here." Now, the apostle said to the Lord, "Give us more faith." And the Lord replied, "There is no more or less in faith. If you have a bare kernel of faith, say the size of a poppy seed, you could say to the sycamore tree, 'Go jump in the lake,' and it would do." Sounds a bit funny, but let's go a bit deeper. You see, the apostles had a problem. Oh yes, one thing is for sure. They truly believed in Jesus. They've seen him in action, but they asked him to help them to increase their faith. "Jesus, we know you can do this, but we're not so sure about ourselves." Now, I have a question for you. Do you know what the difference between belief and faith is? Well, I like to tell the story of the skilled high wire artist who was obviously so good that the audience absolutely believed that he could do almost anything in the world. You know, he even rode safely over the high wire on his bicycle. And the ringmaster then addressed the crowd. Ladies and gentlemen, how many of you believe that this daring man can ride safely over the high wire on his bicycle, even while carrying someone on his shoulders? If you believe he can do it, please raise your hand. Now all the hands went up and the crowd cheered. Very well then, says the ringmaster, seeing the almost unanimous vote of confidence. Now who would like to be first to get onto his shoulders? The difference between belief and faith is the difference between staying in our seats or climbing on the shoulders of the one who gives us faith. Jesus was actually saying, even a little bit of faith goes a long way. Faith in God does always make a difference. And if you really dig deep, this was the point in the story of Jesus. Even a small amount of faith can accomplish what otherwise would seem impossible. So, Jesus was not chewing out his disciples for not having enough faith. Oh no, Jesus was actually affirming the faith they already had. So, the Bible says it's not a question of how much faith a person has, but how to put the faith that one already possesses to work. You already have faith, Jesus was telling them. And now you need to apply the faith that you already have. Do you know, 2,000 years later, that the same truth remains true even to this day? In times of confusion, when everything seems to be falling apart, you and I actually have enough faith deep within us to carry us through. It is not a question of how much faith we have, but rather a matter of discovering how to apply the faith that we already have. Even a small amount of faith opens you up to tremendous power. And today may be the time in your life that you could begin exercising and applying your faith. There are things in our lives that we know that we still can and should do. There's not a soul in this church today to say, Lord, take me, I've done everything I could, everything I wanted, everything I should. So the question from Scripture is, why are we waiting? Jesus told his disciples to get on with it and to apply their faith and to move mountains. What task should you handle this week, knowing that you possess enough faith to do the seemingly impossible? Well, in the language of our time, why not just simply accept the fact and get started right now, right here, this very morning? You may think and say, easy for you to speak. You're not in my shoes. You don't know. Well, how well do I remember a time in my own life that I was so overwhelmed with all the suffering, all the pain, and all the unfairness of life for so many in our world, that I sincerely doubted whether I should be a minister at all. I doubted my calling as minister, and I actually struggled with the question whether I should continue. We had just completed, years ago, intensive clinical pastoral training, and we worked amidst the very ill and dying in a hospital in Amsterdam in the Netherlands. And that intensive training of so many months included dealing directly every day during those 3 months with the most tragic and hopeless cases in that huge city hospital. And after a while, I came to the conclusion, no go. This was simply too much to do for the rest of my life and the rest of my career. And during that period, we spent much time studying, thinking, discussing, and praying. And in our little group of 7 were 2 Catholic priests, 1 a chaplain in the military, and 3 other ministers in different Protestant churches. And believe me, I was not alone in my distress. During those weeks, we all faced and discovered that we had deep-seated uncertainties and doubts and fears within ourselves. On our very last morning together, we privately gathered. We knew it was going to be for the last time in the hospital chapel. This time, it was time to say goodbye, time of farewell, and we decided to celebrate communion at that occasion. So we brought a loaf of bread and a bottle of wine, and this is exactly how we did it. We passed the loaf of bread, breaking off a piece of bread, and then passed it, not eating it ourselves, but passed it to the person next to us. So we literally served one another. And when we passed the bread, we spoke the name of the one receiving the bread. Holy moments. It was as if Jesus Himself was uniting us in common ministry to a sick and dying world. That day, I understood for the first time. I received the bread and I heard my name. Het lichaam van Christus, Fred. Brood van het leven. The body of Christ, Fred. The bread of life. Something difficult to describe happened to me that very moment. It really caught me off guard. It moved me so deeply, it touched my entire being. When Jesus picked up the bread at his last meal and said, "This is my body which is broken for you," he was doing it in a very personal way for each one of us. He then knew my name and he knew your name. In that moment. And it was then that I realized, as if for the very first time in my life, He actually did it also for me. Through this bread, I'm connected with the source of power. I actually heard my own name, and then I knew I can do all things through Him I'm sorry, it's a bit over. Through him who called me and who sent me. And that is the message of this morning for you and for me. Christ is once again in our midst, very visibly, with the bread, calling your name as his followers, calling mine, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, shed for you. Come then to the table. Amen.